In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Why did Jesus, the Lord, multiply fish and bread? Why did he do this? He did this because he had concern for the people, because the people had been following him. And he looked out and he saw the 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, and he knew that they were hungry, that they needed something. But you know what? It's not only this kind of bread that he's going to talk about, but he's going to talk about another kind of bread in the verses to follow. This beautiful miracle of the fish and the loaves is a Eucharistic miracle. Now, this was not the Eucharist, but it was pointing to a Eucharistic miracle when Jesus would say, "Take and eat, for this is my body. Take and drink, for this is my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be shed for you now and for many for the forgiveness of sins." So let's look at John 6, verse 15. "When Jesus therefore perceived that the crowd would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain by himself alone." He ran off to the hills because this was a temptation. Either I die on a cross or they're going to give me a throne. Jesus knew that the throne that he would have would not be the throne of a king or the throne of royalty, but it would be the throne of the cross, where he will draw all men unto himself, all women unto himself, all of humanity unto himself. He said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." So he runs away. He runs to the hills so that they can't get him. They want to enthrone him. And let's see why. "And when even was now come, the evening, his disciples went down to the sea, and they entered into a boat, and they went over the sea toward Capernaum." So they're going toward Peter's house and toward the synagogue at Capernaum. "And it was now dark, and Jesus had not come to them yet, and the sea arose by reason of great wind that blew." I want you to know why we hear about the sea that really gets very choppy and very violent. Because the winds from the desert and the winds from the north meet in this beautiful Sea of Galilee, and it could just happen at any time that these cold winds and hot winds meet, and it causes a great tribulation on the sea. How do I know that? Because I read about it. No, because we were on the sea one day. It was a gorgeous day, and we're going from one place to the other on the sea, and all of a sudden, this is exactly what happens. The ship or the boat they were in started to get tossed and turned. You see, this happened to us. And the guide said, "I tell you why it happened, because the winds from the desert and the cold winds from the north come and they meet, and this can happen at any time." And it did. It happened at any time. And I got scared because I said, "My Lord, this is not only biblical, but we're going to die on this boat." But we didn't. "So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 5 and 30 furlongs, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid." They see Jesus walking on the water. Here comes Jesus. See him walking on the water. Yes, see him walking. Jesus coming toward the boat. So they're scared. But he said unto them, "It is I. Don't be afraid. I want to tell you, no one ever needs to be afraid of Jesus. He is holy. He is loving. He is benign. He is wonderful. No one ever need be afraid of Jesus." When Bartimaeus was called to come to Jesus, they said, "Don't be afraid of him. You know, there's nothing to fear in this person. There's no fear that comes from this person. He'll only be a blessing to him." Bartimaeus' eyes were open. And Jesus said, "It is I, do not be afraid." And then listen what happens. "And they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they went." Isn't that something? You just take Jesus into the ship that you are, into the person that you are, and I tell you, you'll arrive safely. You'll arrive safely. It's just like that. Taking Jesus into our beings, even when it's rocky, even when the seas are tempestuous, even when we feel like we've lost the battle, call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Come into my life again. Come with your Holy Spirit, and you'll find that he will take you to the place where you need to be. This is reality. "Now the day following, when the people which stood on either side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one where his disciples were entered, and that Jesus did not go with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone." In other words, they're saying, how did Jesus get to the boat? How did Jesus get to Capernaum? He didn't get into the boat. We saw the 12 leave on the boat. How? They're wondering. They don't know that he was walking on the sea. "Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias unto the place where they did eat bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, and they were seeking Jesus." I'm going to tell you that I love that. They were seeking. Who you're seeking today? Who you're seeking today? It was at the tomb, the empty tomb. Mary Magdalene was asked, "Whom do you seek?" Like, who are you seeking today? You're seeking to become rich? You're seeking to become popular? Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will be added. Seek Jesus Christ, the Lord, and everything that you need will be added. This is real. What are you seeking today? Are you seeking peace? Well, peace comes from Jesus. Are you seeking joy? Well, joy comes from Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek the face of Jesus Christ. You know, so often we seek his hands. What can he give me? What can I get from him? Don't seek his hands. Seek his holy face, the light of the on the face of Jesus, the glory on the face of Jesus. Seek Jesus. Seek him. Don't seek what he can give you. He'll give you everything. He says, if you seek first the kingdom, everything will be added unto you. So then people were seeking Jesus. Why were they seeking Jesus? Because they needed healing, because they were broken. Most of these people were seeking his hands. They were not seeking his face. They want something else from Jesus. And you know, I understand that. I do understand that. When someone is bankrupt, and I mean bankrupt emotionally, when someone doesn't know what to do, someone doesn't know what to do, and they need something from Jesus, they seek Jesus, "I need you to help me." That's real. That's real, and I understand that. But you know what? For those who seek his face, it's much more pure. That's purer. They were seeking Jesus, but they were seeking him for what he could do for them. "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when did you come here? You didn't get into the boat. When did you come here? How did you get to Capernaum? You didn't leave with the disciples. When did you come here?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled." You see, you seek me not because you saw the sign, but because you have filled your belly. In other words, the sign should have pointed to Jesus. Not to seek Jesus only for the bread and the fish. You seek me because you got your bellies full, got your bellies filled with food. Not because of the miracle, because the miracle pointed back to Jesus. That, in other words, that those people that ate the fish and the loaves, and there were 12 wicker baskets remaining, they should be enamored about Jesus. They should say, This is a miracle. This is a happening. This is someone special. I seek Jesus. I want to know more about you, not only about your miracles, but about you, because the miracles point to Jesus. That's what the miracles point to. They point to Jesus. And that's what we need to hear, that we seek Jesus not for his miracles, not for his hands, but we seek his face. And I know if you're sick, you want him to heal you. And you know what? Call upon Jesus. Call upon Jesus. Just tell him, I'm sick. I need to be healed. I need your Holy Spirit. I need you to do something for me that only you can do for me. Call upon Jesus. Call upon Jesus. He is available. But you know, if you don't need too much, just seek his face. Seek his face. Because if you seek his face, he'll give you everything. He'll give you everything if you seek his face. Jesus said, labor not for the food that perishes. That's the food that he multiplied. But for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For he, God, had set the seal upon the Son of Man. What is the seal that the Father set upon Jesus? It's the Holy Spirit. The seal that the Father set upon Jesus is the Holy Spirit. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We remember that. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We remember that. That Jesus worked out of the ability of who he was. His identity first as the Son of God. Jesus worked out of who he was. He was God's only begotten Son, eternally begotten. His identity was tied up with the Father, and he was sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Now, again, I'm going to ask you, who are you? You are a Son of God in the Son. You are a Son of God in the Son. What Jesus is by nature, we who believe are by grace. I'll say it again. What Jesus is by nature, he is eternally the Son of God. We are by grace. I am a son. I am a son. I am a son. I am a son. Jesus' identity was with the Father. His identity always was with God the Father. And the Father set his seal upon Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit. I tell you, I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. I don't need more money. I need the Holy Spirit. I need a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I need that God would pour out upon me the great gift of his Spirit. Spirit. Oh, do I need the Spirit? I don't need more money. I don't need money. I need the Holy Spirit. I do. Jesus says, you know, he who believes in me and thirsts, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. He was speaking of the Spirit whom he would give, but he has not given him yet because he's not been glorified on the cross. I need the Holy Spirit more than anything else. Please, please, if you're going to pray for Father Tom, you pray that he be receptive to the Holy Spirit, that he be filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would find a home more and more in Father Tom's temple. And you know, for yourself too. Because that's what you need. You need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit always leads us to Jesus, the Son of God. And we remember that in the Son, we are sons in the Son. I also want to tell you, Jesus said, I am who I am, using the name of God. And he knew that his power came from his identity as the Son of God. He knew that his identity and his power came from being in relationship with the Father. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? So the people asked Jesus, what do we have to do the works of God? This is interesting because they say plural. Like, what works do we have to do?
What shall I do that I might do the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. This is singular. This is the opus dei, work of God, that you believe on him whom the Father hath sent. This is the work of God, to believe in Jesus whom the Father has sent, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God did not send the Son to condemn you, but that you should be saved. The judgment is this, that the light has come into the world, but men and women have preferred darkness. This is the work of God, to believe in Jesus. And you know what I'm saying? If you truly believe in Jesus, he'll give you a job. He'll give you a job. He'll give you a job, but you are not saved by the job. You are not saved by preaching. You are not saved by feeding the poor. You are saved by grace through faith, and that produces works, that we are living faith which yields to love, as it says in Galatians. Faith yielding to love, and that you cannot separate it. That's why we are in need of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will help us to do the works of God. The work of God is to believe in Jesus, and the believing in Jesus, he will give us a job. I know he will, because there are so many lost people. They said, therefore, unto Jesus, what sign do you show us that we may see and believe you? What is your work? My heavens, he has just multiplied fish and loaves. What else do they need? In other words, what sign are you going to show us that you are worthy to believe, to be believed in? Like, what sign are you going to show us? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. Okay, manna is, what is it? The translation of manna is, our fathers ate, what is it, in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. You know, these people are stupid. These are stupid people. They have just filled their bellies. Remember what Jesus said? You're following me not because you saw the miracle, because the miracle points to me, but you ate your fill of the loaves and the fish. That's why you're following me. You know, then they ask him, you know, what sign are you going to give us? My gosh, what other sign do they need? They just filled their bellies. He just filled 15,000 people with food that was from a couple of fish and a couple of loaves. What other sign do they need? Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. In other words, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For that bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He's talking about himself. That Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but the Father gives you the true bread from heaven, the bread that has come down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread. They're looking at Jesus. You know, it's like saying, you know, I have a treasure chest in front of me. And you say, you know, give me a dollar. You don't need a dollar. You've got a treasure chest. They're saying, you know, give us this bread. Oh, they're looking at the bread that has come down from heaven. They're looking at Jesus. They are so stupid. You know why? Because they were thinking more of filling their bellies than of Jesus Christ. The sign always points to Jesus. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. He that believes in me shall never thirst. So Jesus tells them, I am the bread come down from heaven. Anyone who comes to me shall never hunger. Anyone who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. That's real.
You've seen me, you've seen the miracles, and you don't believe. You say Moses gave you bread from heaven. Don't you know I am the bread come down from heaven?
It is I. But I said unto you that you also have seen me, and you don't believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no way cast out.
Let me tell you, all that the Father gives to Jesus shall come to Jesus. Do you know you are the gift of the Father to Jesus?
All that the Father gives me shall come to me.
You are the gift of the Father to Jesus, and he gave you to Jesus. And how do we know that?
Because you go to Jesus. And the person who comes to me, I will never cast out.
I want to tell you, Jesus is not into rejection.
Maybe your life is filled with rejection. You've been rejected by parents. You've been rejected by teachers. You've been rejected by everyone.
And I'm telling you, Jesus said, no one who comes to me will I ever reject, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. No one who comes to Jesus will ever be rejected. I'm telling you that. Turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Look to his face and not only to his hands. Let Jesus arise in your soul. Jesus, you know, if the Father gave you to Jesus, the Father gave you to Jesus as a gift. How do I know that? Because you're turning to Jesus. He who believes in me shall live forever. I am the bread come down from heaven. But you don't believe. You believe only in that you filled your stomachs. Listen, it's not in filling your stomachs. It's in filling your hearts. It's in filling your life. I am that bread come down from heaven. And we should be hearing in the background, take and eat, for this is my body. Take and drink, for this is my blood. Whenever Jesus is saying, I am the bread come down from heaven, we hear him also saying in the background on the night before he died, take and eat, for this is my body. Take and drink, for this is my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and eat, for this is my body. Take and drink, for this is my blood. They said unto Jesus, give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me, but you don't believe. All that the Father gives me, that you and me, shall come to me, shall turn to Jesus, and him who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Father, we come to you through Jesus Christ the Lord, for he is our Lord. He is our shepherd. He is the bread come down from heaven. Oh, Father, we turn to you, and we thank you for sending us not a prophet, but your own beloved Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, Jesus Christ, who is identified with God the Father, Jesus Christ, whom you sealed with the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we turn to you, and we say to you through Jesus Christ, Abba, Father, we love you. Abba, Father, we love you. The manna meant nothing because the bread come down from heaven is not manna, is not what is it, because what is it means manna. But the bread come down from heaven is your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Mary. We praise you, Jesus, as the bread of life. We bless you, Jesus, that you are the eternal Son of the Father. We praise you, Jesus, that we turn to you and you will never cast us away. We thank you, Jesus, that you're not into the rejection game, that you're into the acceptance love. Oh, you accept us. We come to you and we turn our lives over to you, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, the bread that has come down from heaven. Oh, Father, help us to recognize your Son. Help us to identify our lives in Jesus. For in Jesus, we are sons of God. In Jesus, by grace, we are sons of God. And he is the bread of life. Take and eat. This is my body given up for you. Take and drink. This is my blood given up for you. The new and eternal covenant, which is being shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. I do thank you for listening on every day at this time. I want to tell you, from November 8th to the 11th, Days of Glory, I will be there with Maria Vadia, praise and worship, and we will be adoring the Lord, listen, and it's going to be held at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Woburn, Mass. The Crown Plaza Hotel. You need rooms. I'll give you the telephone number for rooms. 781-935-8760. 781-935-8760. Go on to the website, daysofglory.org. Daysofglory.org. That's between the 8th and the 11th of November. You can come for a day. You can come for 2 days. You can come for the whole 4 days. Daysofglory.org. Great things will happen. I've seen great things happen at these meetings, and we are expecting to be sealed with the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God would come in a new way, in a more powerful way, in a way that we would seek the face of Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, and the bread come down from heaven. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.